You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, As We Forgive Those Who Trespass Against Us. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Sometimes the human mind is like a camera. It photographs a moment, and we keep that picture in our memory a whole life long. One of those photograph moments occurred when I was a child. I'm guessing I was about 8 years old. My father was a milkman, and he ran a route in Homewood, Illinois. That's just south of Chicago. Sometimes on a weekday when there was no school, my dad would take me with him on the milk truck. I'd help him by running the bottles up to the houses. One of the stops on Dad's route was a jail. I once went in with him to deliver the milk, and my dad asked the sheriff to show me the jail cells. The sheriff obliged. Even now I can see the two cells. This was just a small jail. One cell was empty. The other cell had a man sitting in it. The sheriff and my dad gave me some advice about being a good boy or look where you'll end up. That mental picture is not worth 1,000 words. It's worth just a few. Commit a crime and you will be punished. Let's go to another picture. In today's program, you and I are sitting together and we're going through a photo album. While the jail picture may not be in your memory, this next picture is. It's a picture of Jesus hanging on the cross. And this one is worth far more than 1,000 words because this one is about your present and your eternal good. I recall some years ago when our neighborhood was canvassed by a religious group. Since I had some free time, I invited the canvassers in and they proceeded to tell me the way of salvation, as they called it. I didn't give them a clue that I was a minister, let alone a Christian. These callers showed me some pictures. They showed me a drawing of Jesus, and they asked, "Do you know who this is?" "Well, that's Jesus," I said. They probably thought, "This guy's not totally ignorant." Then they showed me another picture. "Do you recognize this?" "That's Jesus dying on the cross," I said. They then spoke this sentence, "Jesus died on the cross so that our sins would be forgiven, and we could do good works and go to heaven." "Excuse me, would you repeat that again?" "Jesus died on the cross so that our sins would be forgiven, and we could do good works and go to heaven." At that point, I revealed that I was a Christian and somewhat informed about the faith. "That's not Christianity," I said. "Christianity is the message that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Getting into heaven does not depend upon our good works. We should do them, of course. But good works are not a condition for getting into heaven. We are saved simply by believing that Jesus died to forgive our sins." Then I quoted Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. "God saved you through faith as an act of kindness. You had nothing to do with it. Being saved is a gift from God. It's not the result of anything you've done, so no one can brag about it. God has made us what we are. He has created us in Christ Jesus to live lives filled with good works that He has prepared for us to do." There you have the second picture in our little photo album journey today. These two pictures, the man sitting in the Homewood jail cell and Jesus hanging on the cross, have been in my mind for some 40 years, but I've never really put the two pictures together. When you consider them together, a problem arises. There seems to be a contradiction. The message of the one picture is that you'll be punished if you commit a crime. The message of the second picture is that you are forgiven, fully forgiven, immediately forgiven, forever forgiven, through faith in the Savior of sinners, Jesus Christ. Doesn't there seem to be a contradiction here? There surely does. And a lot of people saw the problem before it ever dawned on me. Let's flip the page in my photo album and go to today's third picture. This is another jail. The town of Leavenworth, Kansas, lies along the Missouri River and has a population of about 35,000. On the north edge of town sits Fort Leavenworth. The fort is home to the Command and General Staff College, but it's best known for its prison, the United States Penitentiary. A year and a half ago, I went to Leavenworth and to the penitentiary for several speaking engagements. On a Monday morning, I spoke at a prayer breakfast for some military and civilian personnel who work at the penitentiary. This prayer breakfast is mental photograph number 3 in today's album. I can still see that the people listening to me were perplexed. They were listening, but I wasn't really getting through. Now, I don't know how it is for other public speakers, but I watch the people to whom I'm speaking. Their eyes, their faces, their body posture tell me if I'm getting through to them. I'm watching you now. But that morning at Leavenworth, I wasn't getting all the way through. After it was over, a friend of mine explained the reaction to me. Irv Wickner is now a pastor in Lacey, Washington. But at that time, he was an active duty Army chaplain on the faculty of the Command and General Staff College. Irv said, "They needed to hear what you said, Dale." What I had said was that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us full forgiveness for our sins. Because we have been forgiven, we should be ready to forgive others. To be specific, have an attitude of forgiveness toward the people over whom you stand guard here in Leavenworth. As Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer, so ought we to do. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That is solid, indisputable Bible teaching. That's the heart and core of the gospel. Without that, you have no gospel, no good news. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And my friend Irv said they needed to hear that. The problem my listeners were struggling with, Irv told me, is the apparent contradiction between that attitude of ready and sincere forgiveness that is rooted in the cross of Christ and the obvious fact that they are guarding criminals who deserve to be punished for their wrongs. Like I said, I had never really compared my youthful picture of a man sitting in the Homewood jail and the picture of Christ on the cross. I had not thought about the apparent contradiction between two facts: commit a crime and you'll be punished, and the fact that Jesus forgives you fully, immediately, and eternally, and as a consequence, you should forgive others. My puzzled hearers at Leavenworth made me aware of the problem. Is incarceration compatible with Christianity? Yes, it is. And let me try to explain. Here's a question for you to consider. When does God punish sin? God has all of eternity to punish the sins of individuals. The Bible teaches that all people have an existence after death. Right now, in this life, you and I can get away with some things. Some people commit crimes and are not caught, despite what I was told in the Homewood jail. Whether we're put in jail or not, every single one of us is a sinner. Every single one of us has often offended the holy God by not doing what he wants us to do. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 20 says, "There is no one so righteous on earth that he always does what is good and never sins." Now God seems to let a lot of sins go, but he will eventually call every individual to account. Romans chapter 14 verse 10 says, "Everyone will stand in front of God to be judged." And what should the verdict be? Romans chapter 6, "The wages of sin is death." And that means an unending, eternal death in hell. But God doesn't want that.
Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 32 says, "I don't want anyone to die, declares the Almighty Lord. Change the way you think and act." And 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says that God wants all people to be saved and to learn the truth. The truth is that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to be punished in our place. That happened on the cross of Calvary. There, Jesus was our substitute. Hanging on the cross, He was punished by God His Father for your sins, my sins, the sins of the whole world. Why would He endure such agony, worse even than imprisonment? He did it willingly so that you can believe your sins are forgiven, fully forgiven, immediately forgiven, forever forgiven, and you can live forever in the joys of heaven. When you're called to give your eternal account, you believe with all your heart and say with confidence, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner, for Jesus' sake." God will do that, as we've demonstrated clearly from the Bible. Because we are forgiven, we should strive to be ready and willing to forgive those who sin against us. As the Our Father says, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." That's the way it is with the things of God in the kingdom of Christ our Savior. But as we've pointed out this month, Christians have a dual citizenship. Individually and as the church, we are citizens of God's eternal kingdom. However, until we die, we are also citizens of our earthly nation. Here we do not deal with the gospel, but in our nation, in the things of Caesar, we deal with the law. And here comes an important point. While an individual has all eternity to account for sin, a nation does not. When a nation dies, it is gone forever. There is no longer a Roman Empire, no longer a Soviet Union, and someday there will be no Canada, no United States, or wherever you happen to call home. Because of that fact, a nation will be rewarded or punished here and now. Ezra chapter 7, verse 26 says pointedly, "Whoever will not strictly follow your God's teachings and the king's orders should be promptly exiled, have his goods confiscated, be imprisoned, or sentenced to die." Therefore, the nation that wants to endure, the people that want to be blessed, the country that wants to receive God's continued favor, will punish evil here and now. Proverbs 14 says, "Righteousness lifts up a nation, but sin is a disgrace in any society." Our country simply does not have all eternity to deal with the problem of crime. God does, but the nation doesn't. Those who resist the government will bring punishment on themselves. Romans chapter 13. Yes. Incarceration is compatible with Christianity because we are talking about two different kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the nation. You can see this most clearly in the fourth and final mental picture for today, the malefactor on the cross. That criminal who was crucified with Jesus knew that he deserved to be punished for what he had done. And so it must be with the things of Caesar. But that same malefactor knew and believed that the innocent death of Jesus opened the way to heaven. And so it is in the kingdom of God. Until next week, think about the pictures we've seen today. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.